On Monday, August 8th, Tall Can Audio hits 1,000 episodes.
Wait, that's still on? Who could possibly still care?
And the gang is all here to celebrate.
It's euphoric. It's got to be close to nirvana. It's outstanding.
For the first time ever, Maddie, Michaela, Rob, and Matt are all live in studio together.
It's happening, you guys! It's happening! Oh, my God, guys! Oh, my God! I wish you all were here!
Is this likely to go well?
Just check my notes here. No!
At least it will make a lot of noise.
Boom. Here comes the boom.
1,000 pods and 1,000 pints.
I don't think I've ever been as proud in my entire life.
TCA 1000 drops Monday, August 8th, wherever you find low-quality podcasts.
Fuck, it's out of control. Shit.
Merry Christmas, Blue Jays fans. Your slugger is gone. Ho, ho, goddamn ho. Welcome to Unforced Errors number 35. Matt Robinson here with you again tonight. Who else would it be? Wasn't planning to record this evening. Spent the last couple of days straight in the studio trying to get things ready for the holiday season so we can put out a couple of things for you without me actually having to do a whole lot of work. You get how that works? So there's been a lot of that going on. This won't be a long one. But I did decide I could take a couple of minutes and do it as the Blue Jays are just pouring it to Colorado. We're in the second intermission. It's 5-0 Toronto. I suppose it's not out of the realm of possibility for this team to blow the lead, but this terrible Colorado team is showing no signs of that happening. Yesterday, for those of you subscribed, either via iTunes, Google Play Music, Stitcher, any kind of podcast app, if you're a subscriber, last night you received Audio Whiplash number 57. Those of you who cherry-pick a little bit, just jump on and off the website, off the social media feeds, you received it today. You want to make sure you're one of the first to get them? Go ahead and subscribe. Head on over to tallcanaudio.com. Right at the top of the homepage, there's links to most of the major podcast centers. You can jump on there and subscribe. You'll make sure that you'll be amongst the first to receive every new episode as it becomes available. Audio Whiplash 57 was myself and Captain Blowhard, Rob Christie, the usual co-host of the show, doing kind of a 2016 year-end retrospective. Shit, it was a terrible year. We were terrorized and we had half our privacies and freedoms getting eroded away. Some of you elected a douchebag into office. Your favorite celebrity, in all likelihood, died because most of them seemed to. Wasn't a fun year. But if you feel like beating the shit out of yourself over the holiday season, Audio Whiplash 57 is available and a great way to do it. On Christmas Eve, Tall Can Sports 102 will drop. That is our annual World Junior show. Again, it's myself and Rob Christie on Tall Can Sports. And we are both just huge fans of this event. Easily my favorite sporting event of the season of the year, and it's not even close. So we went through and it kind of a mixed bag of looking at this year's tournament, but as much as anything else, just talking about the tournament in general and, you know, why it seems to be so popular with Canadians, some great memories, some look back. It's a fun show, and we got great feedback on it last year, as a lot of you seem to tune in on your way to wherever you were going for Christmas. Something to keep you company on the drive or while you're doing a little bit of last-minute wrapping. At that point, Christmas Eve, of course, it's only 2 days away from the tournament, so it seems like a cool time to drop the episode. So that's Tall Can Sports 102, and that will drop for you on Christmas Eve. Maybe a little earlier for some of you who are subscribed, but it will be up on the website. And it will be on our social media feeds early in the morning on Christmas Eve. The main reason for doing this one, as I said, I wasn't planning to tonight. I am exhausted, as a lot of you are, I know, at this time of year. Little last-minute shopping, you're balancing some Christmas parties. I'm packing to get the hell out of here. Won't be in studio for the next week and a bit. Doesn't mean we won't get something done from the road. We'll see if anything pressing comes of it. But there was no plan to record tonight. Just kind of kick back and watch the Leaf game while I'm packing, while wrapping a couple of last-minute things, a little laundry. You know how it is before you take off for the holidays. And then, of course, the news broke. Edwin Encarnacion, 3 years, $60 million with the Cleveland Indians. Now, some of you, no doubt, are thinking exactly what I'm thinking. Isn't 3 years and $60 million less than what the Toronto Blue Jays offered him? 4 years and $80 million. And I am here to confirm for you that, yes, that's true. It is less. But I would encourage you not yet to let Blue Jays management... It's really easy to go, well, he took less. He wanted to go somewhere else. And assume the Blue Jays did everything they could. And I would encourage you at this point to hold off on that assessment. There are a ton of Rogers talking heads you should keep in mind as we work through this. The company who most stringently covers the team, who broadcasts all their games, is the same team, the same company that owns the team and the same company that employs a good 50% of the people covering the team, even indirectly. You know, outside the games, there's people who write for Sportsnet or Sportsnet Magazine or sit and talk about the team on the Fan 590 or other Rogers owned radio stations, TV stations. There's going to be a pro Rogers slant. That's not to say all of them are crooked, but in a pinch, if you're not sure, you probably lean to the side of the person who's paying your bills. And it's hard to get upset about it. It's probably something that most of us would do, but it does draw me back to a conversation we've had across this network before. Is there such thing as sports journalism? Should these guys be held to a higher standard? A journalist has to be held to a higher standard. But is sports really any different than entertainment? And, you know, is Sports Center any different than Entertainment Tonight? It's just a different topic. So that's a whole other thing. But keep in mind that you're going to hear a lot of defense of Rogers, and it's not going to be completely fair. Let's start here. Rogers is off the hook in the sense that people are running around saying they had a year to get this done. That's not completely true. As Edwin said, he won't talk during the season. If the deal wasn't signed before opening day, he wasn't going to talk. I guess you can respect that as a stance. He was upfront about it. He made it clear to them long beforehand, so they knew that if they wanted this to not drag forward, they were going to have to get it done before April, and they didn't. So it is unfair to state that Rogers just dragged their heels all year. They weren't allowed to negotiate from April through October. And then all of a sudden, free agency's right on top of you. And at that point, why wouldn't Edwin go and test the market? So it would be inaccurate to say that they left this to the last second. Their feet were kind of held to the fire on that a little bit. That was a stance Edwin took. It's not a unique one. We see athletes take a stance like that in different cases where they think it's going to hurt their focus, or if they've really already decided this is what they're going to do, then it's an easy way to move through the season without answering many questions about it and without making the fans pissed at you by saying, yeah, I'm already pretty sure I'm going to leave. You just say it, no, I don't want to talk during the season, and it buys you 6 months. So hard to be too upset about the team on that particular front. But let's move into the process as it played out. Once free agency opened, the Blue Jays offered Edwin Encarnacion 4 years, $20 million per year, for a total of, ding, 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 $80 million. It's not nothing. It's a competitive offer. It turns out to be the most money he would be offered. He didn't want to sign it yet. And this is where you get into, I guess you can be mad at Edwin. Ultimately, it's his decision. But I think his agent, and I think we've talked about this on the show before, I think his agent has bumbled this from the beginning. They thought there would be more money out there. And there wasn't. For a guy who can play first base, but not for 140 games, you're talking about a DH slash first baseman. And so the entire NL is basically, they're not out, but they don't have a DH. So you better be damn sure he's your everyday first baseman. And by all accounts, no one was willing to take that gamble in the National League. So that left them with the American League. There was some talk that it would be Texas. They said they didn't have the money. They stayed in it fairly late. There was all kinds of talk, including from David Ortiz himself in Boston over the course of the season, that Edwin should be the guy to take his spot in Boston as their new DH. They felt they had that position covered and, again, didn't want to spend the money on him. So as you start to move through this, Baltimore never really seemed to enter the market on it, and even if they did, there was kind of this whole thing around Bautista that our fans don't like him. I didn't think that was as laughable as most people do. Those are your customers. If you know that it's not going to work, then so be it. Bautista in the past has been a bit of a douchebag. I love him because he was on our side. But you rub people the wrong way. And later on, when you look for someone to give you $50 million, someone's going to go, nah. You pissed me off too many times. There's also, I don't want to get too far down the Bautista thing because he's not signed yet. Although I do think at this point, he is the Blue Jays' best bet to come back and play the outfield. I don't think it's a good, I don't think it's a great move, but I think it's the best move they can make right now. But in terms of the Baltimore thing, he had problems with guys in that room, in the clubhouse. And so it was a lot easier to say our players don't, you know, it was a lot easier to say our fans don't like him than to say our players don't want him. Now, I could put up with someone if they can help me win. So maybe they had their doubts that he was going to be that good. But, you know, there's more to that, I think. But I didn't have the same, I thought it was kind of a silly thing to come out and say. I didn't think it was a silly reason to not do it. If your fans don't like him, your fans don't like him. That should matter. That's your paying customer. You do have to balance that with whether or not he can help you. But so the market closed in on Edwin in a hurry. And he circled back to the Blue Jays. But we're talking about his agent who told him and told him and told him there'll be more money out there. There'll be longer. He wanted 5 years and he wanted maybe $25 million. And there was no one coming close to it. The Jays hit him with 4 years at $20 million and said, take it or leave it, and take it or leave it now. So that's where his agent kind of drops the ball, okay? And they thought, we're going to pass because there's going to be more out there. Excuse me. You know how it is when there's no co-host. So that's where the problem lies on their side. Here's where it lies on the Blue Jays' side. Way too eager. And maybe I would be saying the opposite if this had played out differently, but it didn't. So here are the facts. They said take it or leave it, because we're not going to get left standing while you go and use our offer to get more from someone else and then be left with nothing. So they move on very quickly. When he says, no, I need more time than that, they said, I can't promise you anything then. We're moving on. So they go to Kendrys Morales. They sign him. He's a switch hitter. Doesn't have the numbers that Edwin has, but he's a capable hitter. And costs him about half what Edwin was going to cost them. So they move on. That largely closes the door on Edwin, but it's not completely closed. When they go and grab Steve Pierce, now it's completely closed. Unless Edwin's going to go play the outfield, and I don't think anybody wants to see that. So they move along, and they get Kendrys Morales and Steve Pierce inside the first week to 10 days of free agency. But Edwin's still sitting out there. And Batista's still sitting out there. And no one's giving them more than what you gave them. No one's giving them equal to what you offered them. And there was a chance, if you'd waited, they would have circled back. Because I believe Edwin, when he said, all things being equal, I'd like to stay. But all things have to be equal. So he's got to go out and find out, are all things equal? Or am I going to leave $30 million on the table that the Texas Rangers would have offered me? Or the Houston Astros would have offered? I got to know. And that's fair. He's earned that right. That's part of the CBA. That's part of his contract. But you can't hold the team hostage. And so the team jumped, went and got these other guys that aren't close to what Edwin can do, but are plan B. But plan A just sat there and sat there and sat there for a month and a half. Almost two. Unsigned. Unable to get close to what you offered. There's a reasonable chance you don't go and spend that money on these other guys. You don't jump the gun and sign Kendrys Morales and Steve Pierce. You probably are getting Edwin back. Not for sure, but probably. He just signed for one less year and $20 million less than what the Blue Jays offered. You don't think if he had his druthers, he'd rather have taken that Blue Jay contract, stayed where he was? Of course he would have. But that door closed behind him. So you can defend the Jays in the sense that they didn't want to be left hanging. Because if they don't sign Kendrys Morales and he goes and signs somewhere else, and then Edwin goes to Houston, now the fans are jumping up and down screaming at the owners, what are you doing? You fucked us, right? So, but that's now the two people who are supposed to lead these negotiations incorrectly examining the market. Edwin's agent tells Edwin he's going to get more, and he's wrong. And Mark Shapiro and Ross Adkins here in Toronto running the Jays say, we have to jump now because this market's going to move fast. And it doesn't. These are guys that are paid a ton of money to be way smarter than that. Now, they're not going to be perfect. It's hard to know for sure how things are going to go. But those are two colossal fuck-ups on both sides. One more party in this is Rogers. Will they give up the money? Well, they offered it to Edwin. They offered $20 million for 4 years. So it sounds like they were prepared to do it. Was there going to have to be other cutbacks? Were you going to have to lose something else? Maybe. But by all accounts, Mark Shapiro, and he's really the guy I'm holding responsible on the Jays side, more than Rogers this time. I think Rogers undervalues what the fans are doing right now. They went like a decade averaging 20,000 people in the stadium. And for the last 2 years, it doubled. It more than doubled. And the TV ratings are through the roofs. And the hats, the Blue Jays hats, are everywhere in the city. And t-shirts and jerseys. And they are just raking it in. And I've got some stats somewhere. I should have pulled up on this. I was doing some research for a different topic for early next year. And it would have fit in here nicely, and I don't have it. Rogers, to defend themselves right now, before this move, was already defending themselves, saying when the numbers came in on how much extra money they made in the third quarter this year, which is July through September, right? That's pretty big Blue Jays time. They tried to sell that as the World Cup of Hockey in September, being the reason all that money came in. When the NHL has already come out and said the World Cup of Hockey was a disaster, it made less than half of what they projected it to make. The ratings were not good. And so financial analysts have already come out and said, no, that's not likely. Just based on how we sell tickets here, how advertising gets done. The World Cup of Hockey was a big deal. Those ads were sold a year ago. You don't really sell Blue Jays ads that far out in advance. You kind of do, but it's left flexible so that if the team is great and there's 3 million people watching, you make more money when you sell those commercials than if the team is trash and there's less than a million watching. So Rogers claiming that the Jays aren't as profitable as everyone says they are is ridiculous. They were recently valued at $900 million property. So Rogers, in this instance, specifically, looks like they ponied up the money. We don't know exactly what the trade-off was going to be, if there was going to have to be a hard return of something else. But it looks like Rogers said okay, and Shapiro and Atkins just made a terrible, terrible read of the market and the situation and have blown it. And fans are pissed. Jump on Twitter and search the hashtag Blue Jays. Hashtag Jays. People are losing their goddamn minds. Now, sports fans are emotional, and it'll cool off. But look for this all the way through next season if the Jays don't get off to a hot start. If Kendrys Morales is batting 198 with seven dingers in July, and Edwin's tearing it up for Cleveland, and they come in and smash us around a little, people will remember. And they'll especially remember if there's only 19,000 people in the dome. But those are the facts. That's the timeline. And that was really all I wanted to accomplish on this one, is to make sure everyone understood exactly how this played out and who's to blame and where. The agent told Edwin there'd be more money. There wasn't. The Blue Jays thought they had no time and had to jump now. They had time and didn't have to jump now. They could have Edwin right now if they hadn't gone with Plan B that much quicker. And maybe they wanted to. Maybe this was all a face-saving thing in front of the fans, in front of the media, where they knew Edwin wasn't going to sign that quick, but they were able to say, we need to know now, and then turn around and say to the fans, hey, we tried. And they never wanted to give him that contract? We'll never know that for sure. But everything out there is that they legitimately offered him that deal and gave him a hard deadline, and he said, I'm not meeting that deadline. And if that's the case, then, you know, it's on him and his agent. But it's absolutely also on the Blue Jays management to think that someone else was going to sign up Kendrys Morales that quick as they did. There's no evidence to support that whatsoever. So that's where it's at right now. I'm going to go see. The Leaf game's probably at 5-3 at this point because they're not exactly great at holding down leads in the third. I guess a checkout, Audio Whiplash 57, our year-end retrospective, get you good and depressed. You can have some rum and eggnog and just kind of sit back and hate the year like the rest of us did. Sorry about your favorite celebrity, by the way. And Christmas Eve. Like I said, one of our favorite shows. It's become an annual thing. People love it. The World Junior show, Christmas Eve Spectacular. That'll drop for you, aptly, not surprisingly, on Christmas Eve. This has been Unforced Errors number 35, I believe I said. Merry Christmas. Your best hitter's gone. In the last 5 years, only one person in the majors has hit more home runs and more RBIs than Edwin Encarnacion, and you let him walk over 1 year. Whew, that's going to be hard to live with. Unforced Errors 35. My name is Matt Robinson. Have yourselves a great day.
This one's empty. For more, visit tallcanaudio.com or find us on Twitter and Facebook at tallcanaudio.